Since 1937, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance has been proclaiming the love of Jesus Christ. We seek to lift up Jesus, who brings light into a darkened world. Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Good morning and welcome to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I'm delighted that you chose to join us today. I often think I never know who's listening to the program, well, I know that there are those who listen on a regular basis. So thank you for tuning in today, and I hope the continuation of the message, Casting the Shadow of the Spirit-Filled Life, preached at the First General Baptist Church in Princeton, Indiana, just this last month, will be a blessing and a challenge to you, as we believe that the Holy Spirit was given so that we might be able to live a life that is pleasing unto our Heavenly Father. I am going to be speaking this weekend, July the 9th, at Springfield, Ohio, at High Street Church of the Nazarene. That's Sunday morning only. And then July 13 to 23, Flovilla, Georgia, Indian Springs Holiness Camp Meeting. And July 27 to August the 6th, Portage, Ohio, Portage Holiness Camp Meeting. For those who listen to us on WBVI out of Fostoria, Ohio, I hope you'll mark that date on your calendar and come and join us. Reverend Mark Murphy will be doing the music. Eldon Hodel will be my co-worker along with Reverend Nelson Perdue. So that's July the 27th to August the 6th. As always, we need your financial support so we can stay on this radio station. We've always been a faith-based program, listener-supported, so we need your help. So would you reach out to us this month and let us know that you listen to the program and that you believe in what we're doing. You can write to us, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and you can give through the Venmo or the PayPal tab there. Thanks so much. If you like a particular sermon or you enjoy the music that I sing, we have those on CDs, and you can write to me, and I'll be glad to send you a copy of the sermon. Just name the date, or maybe the sermon title if you have it, and I'll send that out to you immediately. Again, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to be able to share the message and the music and the program with those listening to my voice today. And I pray that it would be a blessing and you encourage the folks, challenge them, be with those who are sick and shut in. Touch them, I pray. In the name of Jesus, I ask it all. Amen.
Over I'm a country boy. I grew up on the north side of Greensboro, North Carolina. I lived alongside with my mother and my father and my four siblings, my two aunts and uncles. My uncle Hazel. Yes, his name was Hazel. My uncle Hazel, he had built his home here. Next to him, he had built a home for his sister Ruby and her husband Barney. Next to them, he had built a home for his sister Elizabeth, my mother, and her husband Harold. So we all lived right there. My Uncle Hazel worked at Cone Mill in downtown Greensboro, one of the largest blue denim manufacturers in the world. The jeans you have on, if you're wearing jeans today, might well have come from Cone Mill in Greensboro, North Carolina. But my Uncle Hazel, he liked to farm. He had a barn and some outbuildings that kept his equipment in those outbuildings, where he kept his equipment there. And then down on the backside of that piece of property, oh, he had some grazing area for some cattle that he would have from time to time. But down on the backside of the pasture, he had carved out a pond for his nieces and his nephews. And it was fed with a natural spring. And he'd even built a bathhouse alongside that pond where we could change clothes and go swimming. And in the hot summer months, we would all gather down there along with my cousins who lived across Highway 29. And we would swim in the pond. We had an abandoned refrigerator that we had found. We'd taken the door off of it. It was our boat. And we would sail around the pond in that refrigerator. And oddly enough, right on the edge of that pond was quicksand. It was some quicksand. It was about as big as this area right here. And we'd play in the quicksand. And I can remember we'd play chicken in the quicksand. We'd jump over in the quicksand, my brother and myself, and we'd start sinking in the quicksand. And then the one that yelled to be pulled out first lost, and the other one that stayed in the longest won. And we'd play chicken in the quicksand. Have great memories. The bathhouse, we'd abandoned the bathhouse because it had become wasp infested. And so we'd take rocks and throw at the wasp in the bathhouse and race them to the pond. Oh, we had great times around the pond. Every once in a while, we'd go down to the pond, and when we'd get there, we'd recoil at what we'd see on the surface of the pond. It was this slimy, green moss on the pond that had developed since the last time we were there. And one of us would be designated to go tell Uncle Hazel about it. And we'd run up there and we'd say, Uncle Hazel, we went down to the pond to swim today and it's got that green, slimy stuff on it again. And he'd say, I know what it is. I know what the problem is. I'll take care of it. You see, what had happened was, while it was being fed by that spring, the drain on the other side of that pond had gotten clogged up. And so the water wouldn't run through it and keep it moving to keep it clean. And once he cleaned out the drain from what had clogged it up, that would disappear. Whenever we allow anything to come into our lives that hinders the flow of the Holy Spirit, like that pond from my childhood, we become stagnant. And we begin to go through the motions. Nothing is happening in our lives. We're not growing. We're not being used of God. And so we become stagnant and we don't really are able to do that which God wants to do in and through us. The writer Ezekiel in chapter 47, he said this. He said, everything will live where the river flows. And he goes on and he talks about the river that flows out of the temple, down across the barren desert places. And it enters into the Arabah, into the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea had no life in it. It was called the Salt Sea. But when the river from the temple flowed down across the desert place into the Dead Sea, the Dead Sea began to come alive. because the river had flowed from the church, and there were fishermen that stood on the shores of the Dead Sea from Engedi to Engleam, it says, and they were casting nets and they were catching fish. A sea that was once dead now is producing fish for the fishermen, and that's all symbolic. When we allow the Holy Spirit to come into our lives, we begin to cast the net of the gospel, and the fish of various kinds, it says, will be brought into the kingdom of God. We need the flow of the Holy Spirit in our lives personally so that God can use us. Listen, folks, you're going to cast a shadow personally. You'll go out of this church, out there, wherever you live, wherever you work, wherever you go to school, wherever you play ball, whatever you do, you're going to cast a shadow. Will it be the shadow of, I go to church over there at First General Baptist, good church, or will it be the shadow of spiritual empowerment that's being used by God to propagate the love of Jesus Christ? Secondly, if we're going to cast the shadow of spiritual empowerment, we're going to have to know the reality of the presence of the Holy Spirit corporately. Go back to the scriptures that we read early on in your hearing, and you look at Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, and notice the language of the passage, and notice the pronouns that are used by the writer Luke as he describes what happened on the day of Pentecost. He says, and when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, this is corporate. It's not for a select few. The apostles, yes, they were filled with the Holy Spirit that day. But there were 120, and we know there were only 12 apostles. So the rest of them as well were filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And when they exited that upper room and they hit the streets of Jerusalem, they began to share through the power of the Holy Spirit what Christ had done in their lives and what he could do in the lives of the people that had gathered there in Jerusalem on that special feast day. Sorry. It was a corporate declaration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you don't hear anything else I say today, would you pay very close attention to what I'm about to say now? Anyone in the church not filled with the Holy Spirit is capable of hindering the work of the church, either by negligence, self-centeredness, opinions, common ordinary people, from fisherman to a tax collector, a prostitute, a doctor, the average person on the street, Zacchaeus who went up into a tree. We don't have them all named here, but I believe that they were there and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, turned into empowered proclaimers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what you see in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost is not just a documented picture of what the church used to be. It's not just a documented picture of what the church used to be. It is an invitation corporately to be a part of that which has always been. The book of Acts is a portrait of the Holy Spirit in action, in and through people, just like you and me. We often call the book of Acts the Acts of the Apostles. It's the acts of the Holy Spirit in the lives of the apostles. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. A return to the book of Acts is not a return to antiquated history. It is the investigation and understanding of our heritage. And what a heritage it is. If you're my generation, I'll be 77 in October. If you are of my generation, you remember these three names: Peter, Paul, and Mary. Remember them? They were one of the more famous folk rock groups of the 60s and early 70s. I used to sing my children to sleep with one of their songs. I'd take Wesley and Winston to bed. They had bunk beds in their bedroom. And I would lie down beside the lower bunk, and Winston would place his hand over on my shoulder to make sure I wouldn't leave before he fell asleep. And then I would begin to sing to them. Puff the magic dragon, lived by the sea, and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Little Jackie Paper loved that rascal up. And by the time I got there, they were asleep, and I never learned the rest of the song. Paul Stuckey of Peter, Paul, and Mary gave his heart to the Lord. Amen. He got saved. I got to meet the man. Told him the story that I just told you. Amen. When I met him. He was very kind, very gracious. But when he was singing with Peter and Mary, one day, it's a remarkable story. One day, Paul Stuckey sought out his friend, Bob Dylan. Remember that name? Another famous rock star. Sought out Bob Dylan. And he said, Bob, I'm miserable. I'm strung out on drugs. I drink too much. I'm miserable. I don't enjoy life. I don't know what to do. Bob, is there anything that I can do? And Bob Dylan, he said, yes, Paul, there is. He said, Paul, go back to the city where you grew up. Find the house where you were raised or reared. Buy it. He said, you've got the money. If they'll sell it to you, buy that house if it's still there. He said, then go to the school where you attended school if it's still there. Go into that school. Find those classrooms where you sat and maybe carved your name in some of those desks. Find some of those teachers that taught you back then if they're still alive. And Paul Stuckey said, Bob, why should I do that? And this is what Bob Dylan told him, and I quote, he says, because if you can go back to where you came from, maybe you can discover who you were. And if you can discover who you were, maybe you will find out who you're supposed to be. The church was born in a flame of passion. It was born in power, not the ordered structure of the way we do church. The birth of the church was not some kind of tidy human experience. I sometimes wonder, do we even get it? Do we understand? Do we grasp what happened on the day of Pentecost? It says that there was phenomena. There was the sound of a rushing mighty wind. There were cloven tongues of fire that appeared and just danced over the heads of those disciples and apostles in the upper room. And then they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and God unctionized them through the Holy Spirit to go outside that motel room and share the love of Jesus Christ. Now an empowered force to share and establish the church of Jesus Christ in the name of Jesus. It's about Pentecost giving birth in response to the mind and the will of God in supernatural power. It's about people just like us being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit to be the embodiment, the personification of Jesus Christ on the face of this earth. You cannot define the church in the 21st century in terms that leave out Pentecost. I need the embryo. Amen.
Our time has come and gone for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I do hope you'll take a few minutes to write us that letter of support so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or go to our website, lomanministries.org, and you can give through the PayPal tab or the Venmo tab on the website. I do hope you'll find a place to worship this weekend. In the state of Illinois, I know you would be welcome at the Church of the Nazarene in Murfreesboro and Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Faustoria. And in the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point and Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, along with Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs. And here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Flintwood Wesleyan Church, and Columbus Free Methodist Church. Till the same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.